Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, today I have a special standalone broadcast for you. It's something that's very dear to my heart, and it's called He is Our Deeper Dive. It's a portrait of the Lord that will take us on a journey of discovering just how deeply we can swim into Him as soon as our day of salvation has dawned, and it will last through eternity. It's going to be a deep one. It's actually going to be something that's, well, tailor-made for those of you who are pastors or disciplers, your teachers, your coaches, your leaders. I mean, this is a tool that's going to help friends and parents share what the Christian life is supposed to look like, what you can look forward to, the adventure that it really is according to Scripture, because we tend to stay in the shallow areas of this dive into the Lord. So I'm going to take us on this journey today that I'm so excited in sharing with you. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to start with me over in Psalm 42, and then we'll actually be going to many different scriptures to look at five progressive portraits of the Lord into which we dive to discover all that He has for us as believers in Him. Oh, I can't wait to share this with you. And by the way, this will be also, it's on my website under the printable guides right at the top. Just look for something that says The Deeper Dive of a Life in Christ, and you can print out a one-page front and back synopsis of this and a guide and a tool in evangelism, discipleship, counseling, even in looking at your own life to see how you're doing in your journey, in your dive into Christ, because He is our deeper dive. And as you're making your way to Psalm 42, just a reminder that all of my radio broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. It's called Helping You Hear God, markpg.org. All kinds of options on that landing page, from articles I've written to short videos I've done to the printable guides that I just mentioned that you'll want to go to. And then the broadcast box, click there, then click on Portraits of God, and you'll see all the archived messages there. So that's markpg.org. All right, now we're ready to take our journey today, discovering how the Lord is indeed our deeper dive, who yearns for us to remember that no matter how deep our valleys, He is deeper still. So let's pray together and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm very excited about sharing this message because it's a way to kind of get an overview of how much You have in store for us if we take the deeper dive in You and just keep swimming. So Lord, as we spend this time together, I pray that You'll open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive all that You have for us, and give us a vision of our life in You in this life and in the life to come. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, let's begin our journey together over in Psalm chapter 42. And verses 1 through 2 says this, and then we'll go to 5 and 7. It says this: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for You, God. Oh, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then he goes on in verse 5, it says, why are you in despair, my soul? Why are you restless within me? Let me stop there a moment. Do you ever have those restless nights, those restless hours, the stirrings in your heart, the turmoil within, that undercurrent of restlessness? Well, you're normal. Take heart. You're not the only one. And that's why the psalmist is writing this. And he goes on to say, oh, when I'm in that state, he's saying, deep calls to deep. The deepness of our valley, of our heartache, of our burden, whatever it is, calls to something deeper, the Lord Himself. Hence, He is our deeper dive. And now, let's jump in and see how those different layers, those different depths in our dive unfold for us. But let me start by just sharing with you a little children's story. When I was a pastor for many, many years, I had a children's sermon every Sunday morning. They'd come and gather at my feet. And when it was time for pastor story time, man, they would just jump from their seats, scurry up, sit there, and I'd have some visual on the PowerPoint, tell them a story. And this was one of the favorite ones, and it really sets up this journey. It's the story of Fred the Fish, who loved to swim around the shallows near Coney Island. And he'd look up and he'd see all the flashing lights and the roller coasters and the boardwalk games. He'd see the cotton candy. He'd see people sunning on the beach, having a great time, playing volleyball, throwing frisbees. And oh, every day he'd be swimming in those shallow waters, peering up through them to see what was happening on the beach and at Coney Island. And he couldn't help it. But one day, he couldn't help it, so he just flopped up on the beach. I gotta get in on the action there. He flops up on the beach. And of course, a fish can't breathe out of water. And immediately began gasping for salt water instead of the air he was getting, flipping around, and he was dying. Fortunately, a little boy and a little girl were walking along the beach and saw him flipping around and went, oh my goodness, bless his little heart. And they picked him up, threw him back into the water. And oh, how Fred the Fish gulped in that salt water and was able to breathe again. Well, reflexively, he went to look for his parents to tell him what had just happened. And he told them everything that I just shared with you. And they said, oh my goodness, Freddie, what were you doing? You don't belong on land. That will kill you. Well, I know that now. Not only that, but the depths of the ocean are so vast, so deep, so wide. You can spend a lifetime swimming the ocean depths and never experience the fullness of the sea and all in its beauty and splendor. My friends, that's a Christian life. We can dive in and get saved, but there's so many deeper depths to enjoy. There's so much more to the Christian life than just getting saved, and that's the journey I want to take you on. Now, to be sure, it is a wonderful thing to dive in for the first time at level one. And this is where we see the Lord as our merciful Savior. If you're taking notes, under the umbrella of He is our deeper dive, depth number one out of five is that He is our merciful Savior. Let me take you to Matthew 9:36, if you want to jot that down. In Matthew 9:36, it says, seeing the crowds, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, I love that. A downcast sheep was one who was upside down on its back and was so woolly. Its little legs were just dangling in the air, and the little lamb can't get back on its feet. It's kind of like a turtle on the back of its shell. And it'll die, the turtle and that little lamb, unless somebody will mercifully come along and put it on its feet right side up so that it's no longer downcast. The scripture says we're blinded by the God of this world. We're held captive by Him to do His will. We don't realize how much we need a Savior until things get so bad. And the Savior comes along and He offers to rescue us. In fact, you can call this, He is our merciful rescuer. He is our merciful Savior. Same thing. Oh, my friend, never lose sight of the miracle of salvation. When we first dive in to Jesus Christ Himself. To use another metaphor, He's Prince Charming, but we're not Cinderella. We're the evil stepsisters, because the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And we are all sinners, destined to an eternity without the Lord, unless our eyes are opened and we say yes to his proposal, will you marry me? Not Cinderella, but evil stepsister, but I will make you clean. I will make you new. I will make you mine. Isn't that marvelous? He is our merciful Savior. But it's not just about getting a fire insurance policy from hell. It's not just, you know, getting saved and you're done or making converts. It's about making disciples, according to the Great Commission, and make disciples of all nations. And so that takes us to the next layer down, because the Lord is not only our merciful Savior, he is also our gentle teacher. That's level two. Don't just hang around the shallows of being saved and be easily drawn or tempted into sinful activity up on the beach. No, keep swimming and discover him as our gentle teacher. And I've selected Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 14 as one of the many places we could go about this one. It says, and they were bringing children to him so that he would touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. My friends, we're talking about a childlike trust and faith and being a student of the gentle teacher. And the Lord teaches us gently. He starts us off with the milk, the scripture says, of the word, metaphorically, and then later meat for the mature. The disciples called him Rabbi, and he spoke in parables. And it's the idea of us sitting at his feet and letting him just speak to us heart to heart. So, when he is our merciful Savior, we are the downcast sheep who were rescued. When he is our gentle teacher, we are the children or the disciples who want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and read through his word and use it in our devotionals to meditate upon and to really know his love letters to us, because he is our gentle teacher. We are his children, and he treats us and teaches us gently. I love that, and you're going to see that theme running throughout our deeper dive into the Lord. So it brings us to depth number three, how he is our gracious master. Because it's not enough just to be saved, though he is our merciful Savior. It's not enough just to sit and soak in his word, though that's good. But he's more than being our gentle teacher. He's our gracious master because he wants us to serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. We are to be his voluntary bond servants because he is our gracious master. Now, let's get this clear. He's not a taskmaster. He's not a harsh master. Sometimes when we hear the word servant, we think of slavery and all, and that was a tragedy in so many cultures and still is today. But he is our gracious master, and a bond servant is different from just a servant or a slave. A bond servant is one who had been given the option to be free, but because that servant was experiencing such a gracious master, that servant chose to stay voluntarily in the master's household to serve him, and now they became what's called a bond servant, and often would have a ring, a little round ring on one of the earlobes to signify, I am a servant by choice. Let me illustrate this for you over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Where it describes what a bond servant looks like and how the Lord models this himself. Here's what it says in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome. So there it is, bond servant, not quarrelsome. Again, remember, voluntarily chose to stay in the house of the gracious master. The bond servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. This is how God treats us, my friends. And the passage goes on to say, if perhaps God may grant them repentance or a change of mind, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So that's the spirit of our role as bondservants to our gracious master. The Lord treats us that way, and he wants us as bondservants to also treat others in the very same way. Now, let's be real honest. For many of us, this guy included, sometimes we can get stuck at this level 1, 2, and 3, and not go any further. We are studying our Bibles and getting in discipleship. We are serving in the local church and maybe have ministries and even professions or vocations and thing in the church or in ministry and all. But isn't it true that as the years roll by, our service can become more duty-based than love-based? And when it becomes duty-based and we're just doing our duty like a good soldier, we lose our joy. And things get dry, and things get old, and things get tiresome. We may even get embittered and resentful of all this work we have to do, and there's not much to show for it, or we're not getting much appreciation. Do you ever fall into that trap, being sucked into this sense of, I'm just doing my duty, going through the motions? Well, we all do. We all do. But there's a solution to this. Hey, if you remember the old movie Finding Nemo, one of my favorite characters was the blue fish and Dory. And there was a time when she said to Marlin, who was the orange and white clownfish traveling with her, he was getting kind of grumpy. She says, oh, what's the matter, Mr. Grumpy Gills? Just, what did she say? Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, go deeper. And that's what I'm sharing here. Because there are two more levels to go. They're both called mysteries. And the way to illustrate this will be to take you to the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 in a few moments. But here's where we're going to go. Here's how you break out of just being a duty-based follower of Christ that's lost his or her joy. You just keep swimming for the next level, number 4, where he is our loving father or loving bridegroom. Our loving father or bridegroom. Let me take you to Romans 8:15 and then Ephesians 5:31. Over in Romans 8:15, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. And by the way, that's a good passage for what we talked about earlier. We are bondservants, not slaves. But when we get a sense of having to do it out of duty, then we start feeling like slaves and we get resentful, like the prodigal son's older brother, who was also a prodigal in his own way. We'll get there in a few minutes. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons or daughters, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, which means daddy, a term of affection. We are his beloved children. He is our loving father, and we are his beloved children in that metaphor. But the scripture, besides this Romans 8:15 passage, over in Ephesians 5:31 and 32, it gives us a different but similar metaphor. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Let me stop there. That's obviously a quote from the Old Testament about the foundation of the institution of marriage. It was God's idea, not society's. And the two, male and female, became one here. But here, he's hearkening to that passage. And then he says this in verse 32. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. What? That's right. One of the metaphors in Scripture is how we are the bride of Christ. He is our beloved bridegroom, and we are his bride. So in this layer 4, whether you go with a loving father or the loving bridegroom, and we are beloved children or beloved bride, it's all about love. The Scripture tells us that so clearly. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. Elsewhere, the Scripture says, above all else, guard your love, for it is a unity or the bond of faith It's about love. And these two metaphors give us pictures of unconditional versus earned love and unbridled versus guarded love. But it's hard for us to receive this because we grew up being so performance-based, you have to earn love. Nobody's going to love you if you act like that way. You better do this, that, and the other, or nobody's going to love you. Isn't that true? But my friend, the Lord has an unconditional love for you. Even when I sin, especially when you. Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us to begin with, and that's how we got saved. And once we're within the family of God, we're His child or we're His bride. And of course we're going to mess up from time to time. That doesn't mean get out. He doesn't say, if you don't act right, I'm kicking you out. That's not the love of the father over the groom. It's an unconditional love versus an earned love. It's an unbridled love that He offers versus a guarded or conditional love. Now the prodigal sons, and that's a plural, because the younger one was obviously a prodigal son who went off and lavishly spent the inheritance that he demanded of the father, and the father unconditionally gave it to him. He went off and squandered it. He came to his senses, and he said, what am I doing out here? I'm eating with the pigs. I'll go back as a slave. I don't deserve to be your son. He goes back, and the father sees him from afar off because he's yearning for him to come back. And when he sees him, he runs out, and he's grabs his son to hug him, and the son pushes back, says, no, Dad, I don't deserve to be your son. I will come back as a slave. And the father says, no, come on, come with me. You are my son. You were lost, but now you are found. And he says, break out the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. My lost son is found. And they celebrate. Well, when the commotion is heard by the bigger brother, who is going to turn out to be the bitter brother, he is incensed. He said, what? He's back? My brother who squandered all this and soiled our family name is back, and they're throwing a party? I don't get that. No way. I've been here the whole time. The father is called. He comes out to talk to his son. Son, what's going on? Dad, you're giving this. I can't believe you're doing this for him. You haven't even killed a goat for me to celebrate with my friends, much less a fatted calf for this son of yours. The older brother was so bitter, he couldn't even refer to him as a brother. But the father said, son, you've been with me this whole time. Yes, I have. I've been doing everything you've told me to do. I've done all my duties. But you see, my friend, he was doing it out of just duty, not out of love. He was doing what was correct on the outside, but the inside was prodigaling. That's harder to see. It's harder to admit, but it's very real. The Lord is our loving Father. My friends, He will love you more than you can possibly imagine. He does love you more than you can possibly imagine. Even when you mess up, even when I mess up, He's there to receive us, love on us, heal us. Because that's what they both needed, deep, deep healing. They were family. And this brings me to the last of the five levels. We've said He's our merciful Savior at depth number one. At number two, He's our gentle teacher, where His children are disciples. At three, He's our gracious Master, where His bondservants. Four, He's our loving Father or bridegroom, where His beloved children are bride. Now listen to this one, the greatest mystery of all. He is our fruitful oneness, and we are new creations in Christ. John 15:5 puts it this way. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Abide in him. Get your roots in him and you will bear fruit. You don't make fruit. An artist can make fruit out of wax and tie it with string on a tree, but it's not real. Looks good from afar. But when you abide in Christ, hang with him, put your roots in him, just soak in him, you will be nurtured, and you will bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's in Christ. Then Colossians 1:26-28, and then chapter 3, verse 3 says this, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Oh, my friend, this is the greatest mystery of all. When we come to Christ, the Scripture says we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Why? Because we enter into union with Christ. We become one with Him. We become interwoven. We leave our father and mother and cleave to one another. That's like two pieces of paper that are joined together. That's cleaving. But weaving is when you take those fingers and interlock them, and that's even tighter. You weave with Him. We are one. You have the mind of Christ. We are conduits for the Lord to do His work through us. That's the oneness. He's not way over there. He is not just right here. He is within you. You are one. You used to be a caterpillar. Now you are a butterfly. Metamorphosis takes place when you got saved. And now you are part divine, that's the Jesus Christ part in you, and you're part human, that's what's left over of you, but you're together, you're a new oneness, you are a fruitful oneness in Christ. That's the greatest depth of all. Oh, there's so much more to say, but you get the idea. He is our deeper dive, our merciful Savior, gentle teacher, gracious master, loving father or bridegroom, and our fruitful oneness. Well, Lord, thank you for this journey. May we dive in and see that you are good and you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and check out more at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your deeper dive.